Hey guys, welcome to the Weekend Buzz. My name's Tony.
And I'm Dale.
And yeah, we'd like to welcome you to whatever this is, a movie review show. So, Dale, first things first, let's get with what we've got planned today.
What we've got coming up. Yeah, so, we start off like we always do with our give back, and that is our 10% discount code from Limited Edition Comics, which we'll get to at the end of this rundown. Then we deal with our rewind of the week, which this week was Alien, the original Alien film, Ridley Scott and Sigourney Weaver. Then we move on to Tony's favourite subject, which is Buzz News, the top five news stories around the movie sphere that we think are witty, cool and interesting, will grab your attention.
Yep, exactly.
Then we move on to this week's main movie review, which Tony has been waiting for ages, which is Alien Covenant, the brand new, again, done by Ridley Scott, starring Michael Fassbender. And then we move on to our competition, where we announce our winners from last week, which was for Flash issue 21. And then we also have a very, very, very special pot to give away for this week as well, with another amazing question as well. So stick around for that until the end, and then we'll give you a rundown of what we're doing for next week.
So, thank you very much for that rundown, Dale. We're going to get straight into it this week with our give back. Now, every week, we have a discount code to give you from our friends at Limited Edition Comics. All you have to do is go onto their webpage, buy something, and then put this code in the coupon/voucher section before you pay for your item to get 10% off. Now, Dale, what is this week's discount code?
So this week's discount code is very simple, all capitals again. Alien 2017. So Alien 2017. Simple as that, all capitals.
Boom. That's your 10% discount. That's our give back to you from us at Limited Edition Comics. Guys, enjoy that. Free Comic Book Day was last Saturday. They had a massive sale on. I'm sure they're going to continue that. So go and grab yourself a bargain. Now, let's get into our rewind this week, Dale. What is the rewind this week, sir?
So this rewind was Alien, directed by Ridley Scott, with the main character Ripley, played by Sigourney Weaver. So rewind.
Director Ridley Scott, Alien, starring Sigourney Weaver, Ian Holm and John Hurt, basically tells the story of a ship that lands on the Source Moon and finds one of the crew attacked by a mysterious life form. And they soon realize that the life cycle has merely begun in this being. So, Dale, what was your first initial thoughts? Because obviously when this film starts, we are literally just looking in depth of space, and it takes a bit of a while to warm into
to bring the title up.
What was your views on that, first of all?
Can we get to it?
Can we just get to the violence? Is that what you was on?
Not the violence, but I was looking and it took about 45 minutes before the face hugger came into the play, and it took about an hour before you saw your first glimpse of the Xenomorph, which is absolutely fine. I don't mind it taking time to build up, but, and this is coming from, it was probably a film that was wasted on me per se for the pure fact that because of my age and the generation I'm in, even though I hadn't seen Alien before, the build-up and kind of suspense of what a face hugger is, chest bursters and xenomorphs was kind of wasted because I'd already seen it in later films with like Alien vs Predator and stuff like that, which isn't the best of way to see this groundbreaking character creation. So when I was watching it, I was like, I know what's coming, but I want to see it, like get to it, get to the point.
Yeah. So basically, I watched it with the wife. The wife's never seen it.
Sorry, quick question.
Oh, go on.
Did you? I assume you've seen both, but when you rewatched it, did you rewatch the director's cut or the original?
I watched the original. I lit straight original. Right. I've not seen the director's cut.
You haven't seen the director's cut. I don't know if this is true or not because I haven't looked up on it. But I don't know if the director's cut is perceived as better or worse than the original.
I don't know. I'm a fan, but I'm not that big of a fan to be like, oh, I'll have the director's cut, oh, I'll watch this, because it's the same. For me, if I watch a film and I love it that much, i.e. Die Hard, I can go back, whether it's, I don't even think there is a director's cut for Die Hard, but like, I could go back and watch it. I don't have to then think, well, what didn't we see? I'd rather wait until there's a special features or whatever to come out, and then I can catch up on it then. I'm not a guy that really would like to go on to see what it's like, but that's a good question, and it's probably something I will visit. Maybe I'll have a look online and see.
Well, I watched the director's cut, so I The worst thing about it is I was debating between the two, and I was like, I'll watch the director's cut to see what develops or what changes might be in it. And I thought it would leave me with less questions to ask. It actually left me with more questions to ask, because it felt like there was a couple of scenes where it didn't feel complete, and it felt like stuff was missing from it. So if that was the original, I would be like, oh, cool, I've got a director's cut to check it out. But because I watched the director's cut, the parts that were missing, I was like, I'm still a little bit lost.
But this is where my argument comes, where we're coming off topic. I keep going off topic and speaking about other films. The only director's cut I've ever watched, and I've only sat down and watched it, was Batman v Superman. Now, you know, that is very bad, because people are like, oh, no, that's dreadful. But I enjoyed it for the fact that it filled in gaps.
Yeah.
If the film was put out as that, I would probably be like, it's okay. But because the film came out the way it was and the way it was cut, I was like, oh,
and then you answered more questions by watching a
director. Exactly. So, yeah, I get where you're coming from. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, the story is a slow builder. And that's what I like about it. I love the fact that Ridley Scott's got this thing of just having everything calm.
Yeah.
Nice and calm. And then, bang, you're thrown in. Do you know what I mean? That's what I like about it. The acting, where it's just so calm and mellow. And, you know, they're trying to work through their problems. They're trying to work through issues. And then all of a sudden, bang, situation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Action. So we have to take,
I think,
you know.
The one thing that I liked in the film was that it wasn't the alien that was making you jump or scared.
Yeah.
He did the back in the day, it was probably something new or something different.
Yeah.
Whereas now you kind of always expect it, where, you know, you get this build up part and you're like, oh, it's all gone quiet, they're looking for the alien, there's gonna be a jump scare somewhere, and you're like, oh my god, this alien's gonna rip someone's face off. But it's not, it's like the cat that's jumped down. And then you get, at that point, I'm assuming back in the day when it was made, you were probably like, God, they're safe, it's okay. And then they turn around, the alien's there, and it's like a double scare. And you've gone, whoa, whoa, holy, you've caught me out. Whereas now, because I've kind of, modern day films kind of do that already.
Yeah, they do,
You'll kind of prepare yourself for a double jump just in case it happens, which again is why I'm saying that maybe I watched Alien too late to enjoy it the way it should have been done.
I think personally you did. I watched it when I was very young, and it was one of these things, you know, watch it, you'll get scared. And it scared me, I was young. And then I grew with it, and I grew up, and then I started appreciating it. And that's what I liked about it. That I loved Sigourney Weaver's character. You know, I loved Ian Holm's character. You know, he was the robot. And to be quite fair,
the robot was good.
You had no, when I first watched it, you had no idea. And that scared the living hell out of me.
See, that caught me as well. But I didn't know if I perceived it as a good thing or a bad thing, because when he starts attacking and he was doing all this like insane strength, I was like, what the hell's going on? Like, has he got part of an alien in him? And then you find out he's an android and you're like, whoa, okay.
Well, that's what I love about it. And the wife said to me, she said, we were laying there, she's never watched it before as well. And she was kind of like, meh. And she was like, why is there a robot in every single one? And you do get answers why there is an android in every single one. And obviously we'll come to that later in Covenant. But that's what I love about it. And the story, when you think about the whole concept of the story, throughout the film series, you kind of think to yourself, this is quite clever and it's quite good. And I love the notion of it. But we'll get more to that. I thought Ian Holm's character was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Very calm, very subdued. Very tongue-in-cheek at moments, but you could always see there was the menace inside behind him, which I was kind of like, Ridley's going with this.
You kind of expected him to have that scientist twist that all scientists have. Like, every time you bring aliens and a scientist together, it's always a scientist like, no, we've got to keep it alive, we've got to get it back to, we've got to get it home.
Yeah.
When you get the logical people, like, they're just like, are you absolutely off your rocker?
Let's just burn it or throw it in space. Yeah.
But again, let's go on to Sigourney Weaver's character, Ripley.
Oh, Ripley. Iconic. She's iconic.
The 70s and 80s had some badass female leads.
Oh, damn.
Like, you look
straight
at Sarah Connor in Terminator as well.
Yeah.
Now, again, what I haven't seen the second Alien yet, so Aliens. I have bought it. I did buy both of them together, so I will be watching Aliens. And I think it's, from what I've seen, Sigourney Weaver's character Ripley is going to develop the same way as Sarah Connor. In the first kind of film in Terminator, and which kind of makes sense while James Cameron did Aliens, the second Aliens, after doing Terminator. I believe it was after Terminator. I'll have to check. But just the way that they went from They weren't pushovers. They weren't damsels in distress. They were just normal females.
They were just hard-faced women.
Yeah.
They were kind of like, we're not going to back down. We're in a male environment. We know what we've got to do. And this is what I mean. It treads on the whole feminist aspect as well. And, you know, kind of...
So Terminator was 5 years later.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But this is, I mean... you'll appreciate Aliens more from watching as you watch more of the film series. You start appreciating what you're viewing on screen.
I've been told not to go past Aliens. I've heard three and four are terrible.
Yeah, you get into that mode where you just think why, but then you think to yourself, big wig studio, yeah, we get it, money, right? But now looking at if you cut them two out and you were just like Alien, Aliens, then Prometheus. And in Covenant, yeah. you kind of sit there going,
I watched this YouTube video, and it was basically like they summarized the Alien kind of timeline, which helped because I was getting a bit lost of where which came what. Now obviously we had Prometheus came first, then Covenant, and then obviously went into Alien, Aliens and all that. So that kind of helped explain the timeline for me. I think, Sigourney Weaver's character was very, very strong. I thought the storyline was simplistic, but don't get me wrong, this is where I'm saying it was spoiled on me because of the pure fact that I understand, like, facehuggers scare the cack out of me.
Oh yeah,
I think they're really freaky, and they're like, you just can't get rid of them. Like, even in the movie, that guy had his space helmet on, it just melted its way through.
That's what I like about it. It's the perfect being, in a sense.
Yeah, that you can't stop
it. You can't stop it. It's got that blood, which is just... acid. Burn through. Like, as every aspect of that space hugger is saying, I'm going to do what I'm going to do without you trying to interfere with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I loved about it. It was ruthless. It was terrifying.
That's
scary.
That's just his first part. And but that's what I mean. Like, facehugger, character creation, this is what I'm saying. Like, the xenomorphs are amazing. Whoever came up with the characters and that and designed them are great. Again, with the facehuggers and the chest bursts. Like, he's got, with no disrespect, you've got to be some messed up individual to go, right, so you've got an alien that's going to attach onto someone's face with acid blood that's going to impregnate them with another alien. That alien's going to rip its way through the host's chest and then develop into a xenomorph. And this xenomorph is also going to have another mouth within its mouth that it just shoots out and... just goes through bone, like knife through bone. It's just dead.
Yeah.
And not even that. You then add that on top of the fact that the xenomorphs have acid blood, and their tails.
Their tails are razor sharp with that claw on the end.
It's just like
this is where they get it. It's the perfect being, in a sense. When you look at it, you just think, well, that ain't the perfect being. It's black. It bleeds acid. Like, everything about it just is devastation.
It's got camouflage and everything. It's just natural.
It's not. But when you think about it through the eyes of a scientist or anyone that kind of would sit and argue with you about how perfect, xenomorph and any other, the morphs that have come, which we'll get onto.
I think that gets a bit disruptive.
That does. But, this is what I love about it. And the thing that I regret the most, right, is I didn't go to watch it when we had the first Alien Day.
Yeah,
and it was Alien and Prometheus. And I just, I'm absolutely gutted within myself because I think personally, watching it on a bigger screen with a load more people and just soaking it in. It would just build everything and you'd enjoy it so much more. John Hurt, it's lovely to see John Hurt, revisit a character that he's played because... For me, he was very tongue-in-cheek at a point. And then when he got his comeuppance, being obviously the space hugger's chosen one, you kind of thought he played it well. The scene that always sticks in my head with him is when he's sitting down at the table and he's having that first meal after the space hugger's come off. And he's just going through the motions, unaware that, it was his first meal, B, and it's going to be his last meal.
Yeah.
And then everything kicks off. Massive family environment. Everything's working. He's like, you just watch him, his mannerisms. You just think to yourself, like, you're immersed in what's coming.
Again, that's the issue as well for me is I can understand someone watching that doesn't know about Alien going, oh, all right, so the face always let go. Something's wrong, but I don't know what. And next thing I know, they see this guy writhing in pain and it bursts out his chest. But I know that's coming. That's why I'm saying it was wasted, because I know that's going to happen. I know the stages from Facehugger to Alien, whereas if someone watches that back in the day when it first comes out, you don't know that's going to happen. No. You're just like, he's writhing in pain, what's going to happen?
Yeah, oh,
and next
man.
Thing you know, this thing goes out of his chest. It's,
I think it's absolutely... I mean, for me personally, as a fan, like, the original, the way, the setting, everything that...
Don't get me wrong, the practical effects were, like, second to... I love old school movies for the pure fact that they have practical effects.
You're like me. I prefer a practical rather than a CG.
Yeah.
All day long. All day long. And this is... And we'll get on to stuff in Covenant, but there's stuff in there that I can bring up that I've been looking at online. But it's the practicality, like you just said. It's the story. It's the characters. It's everything that sucks you into a film that you kind of think to yourself, revolutionary for its time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the way it... You know, perceived everyone to think about what else is out there as well, and kick everyone else's imagination in motion. I don't know. With me, I just get really sucked into films like this because it is a kind of very, very kind of, to me, it's like a kind of B movie in a sense, but it's not, and that's what I like about it. And that's me in a nutshell. Love it. Absolutely love it. Anything you want to add to that, Dale?
No, I mean, like I've already said it, like, for me, it's not going to be as high as yours is, but it's still very, very good. And like you said, it's revolutionary for the time. It's practical effects. I absolutely love it. There's a couple of times when I'm just like, all right, it doesn't quite work for me, but there are other points when I'm just like, okay, you know, Sigourney Weaver, I can understand why you're now you were the face of Alien. You were an awesome actress at this time. And again, we saw her most recently in A Monster's Calls, I think, when we watched that.
Yeah.
She was in that, again, very, very good, very, very touching. And, you know, she was one of the original badass women of film. So, you know, props on that.
Oh, wicked. From cast to settings to practical effects to story, I love it. I'm going to go first in scoring this, and I'm going to score it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I kind of expected you would get somewhere like between 8 and 10.
It's not perfect, and it will never be perfect, but it's one of them films that you just think, classic, go back, watch it, have fun, and just leave it there. Your score, please, Dale.
For me, like, you know, I apologise to everyone out there that I might offend with this, but it's got to be, for me, a 6 out of 10, purely for the fact that obviously, I reckon your extra 2 points have come through just general fan base and the fact that you watched it at a lot younger age, and it has a more lasting effect on you. Whereas for me, I'm not... Sci-fi aliens in space is not my cup of tea. Like, I didn't like Life. And it's, you know, the whole cliche of alien in a spaceship. And I think that's where the issue comes for me is I've seen a million and one aliens on a spaceship in space kind of films. Whereas Alien, like you said, was the first. If I'd seen that first, it would have had the exact same effect it had on me. So for that, it's for me, it's a 6 out of 10. But I'm more than happy to meet you in the middle at a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, because, we'll definitely go 7. Here on a Weekend Buzz, we never argue. Unless there's a point, and you have seen us go off on points before, guys. But with this, Alien, the original Alien, gets a 7 out of 10 here on the Weekend Buzz.
I'll rewind for next week. I'm so excited about this because I absolutely love this film.
What's next week?
You'll find out in a minute, won't you?
No, I'm thinking about films. Oh, go on.
So I went and watched this in, not 4DX, but D-Box. This was like the original where it's individual seats that moved. And I watched this film. Del Toro, we want a second one. There is scheduled for a second one, but it's not going to have Charlie Hunnam in it, which sucks. It's going to be Pacific Rim. See, I absolutely love that. Ooh. Mechanoids, kaijus.
I like that. I've not seen it.
What?
Exactly.
Such a good film.
I've not seen Pacific Rim, my man. And also, we've got a second one coming up, haven't we? I've seen they've just.
That's what I said. They're scheduling up for a second one.
So, yeah.
So, this will be very interesting. But it's got everyone in it. It's got Ron Perlman in it.
Yeah.
It's got Idris Elba. It's just. It's so good. You'll love it. It's so good.
Well, I can't wait to see that. So, yeah, our rewind for next week is going to be Pacific Rim. Right, Dale. That was really good, man. Enjoyed that. Absolutely enjoyed that. It's time to go on to our next segment, which is my favourite section because I can talk about anything and it may come true, it may not come true, it may be in the works. Let's just see where it is. But guys, it's time for Weekend Buzz News. Or Buzz News, that's it. Buzz News. Weekend Buzz News.
Buzz News.
Buzz News, guys. We got there in the end. So, Buzz News, guys. I'm going to let you go first this week, Dale. News story number one.
News story number uno. Right, I might have to do this one. I wanted to leave it to later, but I want to beat
the
punch.
No, no. I know what it's going to be.
So, Hellboy.
Yes.
As much as we were torn apart over it when it was like, Hellboy 3 is not going to get made. There's actually been speculation that Hellboy is going to get rebooted with David Harbour playing the lead as Hellboy. So,
dream. Totally. Dream. For me, to be quite fair, read that story and I'm like, wow. I'm like, how can I put it? I love the fact and the notion that Harbour is going to be Hellboy for some reason. It's not the fact that he's in one of my favourite TV programmes, Stranger Things. It's not the fact that he was kind of okay in that film we ain't going to mention. To be quite fair, this role is going to be made for him. And if he plays it well, I think personally, Ron Perlman will shake his hand. That's my general opinion. What's your opinion, Dale?
I want Ron Perlman to do it. No,
it's going to be different. You are going to sit there and you are going to critique. There's no one of no matter of fact, shall I say. But yeah.
I've not got an issue with David Harbour. I think he's awesome in... why have my brain gone dead? Stranger Things, which actually did really well at the MTV Awards. Not that MTV matters too much.
Yeah, it's the Oscar, is it?
But they actually did really, really well. And it's a great TV show, as well as 30 Reasons, sorry. So definitely check that out on Netflix. Netflix, little plug, just saying. But yeah, David Harbour, very, very good. Even saw him lately in Sleepless last week, and he was probably one of the best parts of that film. It'll be very, very interesting to see how he portrays Hellboy. And it'll be interesting to see what other characters and how further into the Hellboy universe we go with this one. So, you know, Tony. Over to you.
Yeah, well, I'm flicking through, you know, like I say, I go to Movie Web, I like it, I think it's great. There's one story that struck me as well. Basically, Deadpool 2 is going to, the post-credit scene in that is going to introduce three of the X-Force members.
Ooh.
Now, I like that idea because X-Force, we all know, is going to be happening. And I think it's going to be absolutely wicked. Deadpool 2 has got a release date of June 1st, 2018.
Yeah, boy.
And Dark Phoenix, which is, I think it's the new X-Men.
No, Dark Phoenix is the alter ego to Jean Grey.
That's it. So, yeah, that's coming out on November 2nd, 2018. Now, the new characters that are going to be, previewed is going to be Sunspot, Feral, and the final one will be Shatterstar. They're the three apparently going to be on this post-credit scene leading up to the X-Force movie. Dale Forts.
Just give me Deadpool.
Deadpool. Everyone's like that. Just give me Deadpool 2.
Like, I want it again on Valentine's Day because that was funny. Like.
every single kind of...
It was the fact that he took the mickey out of it as well. They knew that they deliberately put it out on Valentine's Day and then they took the mick out of it. They were like, breaking the fourth wall in the best way. I bet you thought you were told your girlfriend you were coming to a romantic comedy or something like that. It was kind of like that.
Little spin-off of that, Deadpool the Animated Series, which is an adult
I've just seen this.
One, is coming to Fox, basically, over in the States, and we'll probably get it on
that's
Fox.
That's from Donald Glover as well, who's making a Deadpool Animated Series. That's the one. Yeah.
I think that's absolutely awesome, and I can't wait for that. Dale?
Yeah, we'll touch on the back of that, actually, TV series. There's a live-action Judge Dredd TV series in the works.
Oh, I know. Mega City 1. I see that on
BBC though. BBC are going for
that. And do you know what I really would love is if Carl Urban would be in that, on it, in it. Do you think it's Judge Dredd? Do you think it's going to be Dredd driven, or do you think it's just going to be all about Mega City 1?
See, I'm concerned that BBC have got it because BBC have certain regulations to apply to. Yeah. Whereas I would have much preferred, which again would link into Carl Urban, it being on something like Netflix. Now, I know this is bad because it hurts the TV industry, like the broadcasters. But on Netflix, they've got stuff like with Jason Momoa, they've got stuff with huge actors on it.
Yeah.
I reckon they could easily drop Carl Urban into it and it'll be massive. It'll be absolutely massive and I think it'd be great. You've seen what they've done with like all the Marvel spin-offs, especially the trailer for Defenders as well. So there's no reason why they shouldn't have thrown their hat into the ring. But it'll be interesting to see what BBC does to it, because when you say BBC to me, I mean, you've got, what's the Tom Hardy one?
I love that, and it's called Straight Out My Head.
Yeah,
I know you're about, it's Tom Hardy, set in whatever century, and it's all about the shipping. Oh man, now you've really done it to me.
Prohibition, it's about Prohibition.
Yeah, it's all that, but it was absolutely brilliant.
And then you've got like Musketeers and that, so they've got all period drama stuff, and Doctor Who, and all of this.
I think personally...
I can't see him doing a Dread, like, I think Dread that I want to see. The brutality of a Dread.
Like when we revisit it, rewinded to watch Dread. I mean, Carl Urban, please, if you're out there, that's the only saving grace for this at the moment, I think, is if you go, yeah, I'm down for it, I'll put in a 10-episode or a 9-episode stint, and let's see how you get on, my man. I'm happy with that. as long as you are, Dale.
Of course I
am. Right, time for the next news? Can we go on?
Yeah, next news.
Right, so... mine's going to be alien-based.
Yeah.
We're going to go with... basically, they're going to be shooting the sequel to Covenant in the next 14 months. They're in the final stages of writing the script. It's not called Alien Awakening, like it's been touted about. Ridley has gone and said, quote, "We are writing now as we speak. I'll be filming that within the next 14 months. That is why I'm doing it." So you're asking these questions. I don't know what that
basically
means.
Summing it up, there is going to be an alien sequel prequel to
Covenant. That's what I mean, but it's not going to be Alien Awakening.
See, we'll get to that when we get to the review, because there's a couple of, you know, questions that are left untouched. So now on to new posters and trailers for the week. So Baby Driver, the
one
by Edgar Wright, has got a new poster. Again, I'm excited for that movie.
Jamie Foxx, I think it's going to be absolutely awesome.
New Blade Runner 2049 trailer. Again, that was pretty good.
That was dope. I love that.
It was dope.
It was dope. It was good. It was at that point that I knew that I loved that.
new It trailer as well.
The new It trailer. Right, let's touch on this. Have you seen it first?
No.
Right, I've watched it and I'm pretty disappointed. I thought I was going to get a bit more. We did get a bit more. But the way it ended, I was like,
I want more. Well, yeah,
but
that's the whole point of the trailer.
But you know, when you see these trailers that come out now, you kind of go, oh, here's the teaser. Then you get trailer one, and then you get trailer two. Then you get the final trailer. And you're kind of like,
final trailer.
And then you kind of think to yourself, oh, right, yeah. But yeah, I wasn't interested after that. I was kind of like, I'll wait for the film.
Stony bits and bobs.
Just don't give me another trailer, please. Please don't give me another trailer.
He's just basically scared of clowns. That's his issue.
No, I'm actually alright with clowns. The wife's, I don't think, likes clowns. That'll be a fun one on Cinema Night.
Rewind, watch the original. Yeah. See, someone told me the other day, because again, I haven't watched the original, because it was never something that appealed to me.
Yeah.
But a friend said to me, it's not about how scary the clown is. Like, he doesn't need to be scary. It's just the fact that he turns up at the most, not inconvenient time, but when he turns up, and the way he turns up is scarier and mentally more complexing and messes with your head more than him just being like a jump scare kind of character.
Yeah.
Which is what I hope they keep true to.
Well, obviously we're going to revisit, you know, rewatch the...
Rewind back to the original, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna do all that when it comes out, which I'm really looking forward to. How many bits of news have we had so far?
That's it. So
is that it? We're done. Oh, there's a couple more, but we'll save them for a later date. So, to be quite fair, that was Buzz News, everybody. Let me out! Hold on! This week's main review is Alien Covenant, starring Michael Fassbender, Catherine Waterston, and Danny McBride. There is other actors in there, we'll get to that in a minute, who had literally a 5-minute cameo. The crew of a colony ship bound for a remote planet discover an uncharted paradise with a threat beyond their imagination and must attempt a harrowing escape. Dale, there's a trailer in there somewhere, isn't there, my man?
All of this is to start our new life. Where is it?
Hey, the trailer.
Go. So, Alien Covenant. Now, this is very interesting, and this is very, very heart-rendering, breaking, and are we keeping this spoiler-free, Dale, first, or are we going hammer and
When we get to spoiler issues, like the twist, we will do a spoiler mention, because it's not like Guardians of the Galaxy where this spoiler will ruin the film for you,
yeah.
Because I'm sorry, even though a two-year-old shouldn't be in that film, a two-year-old would have seen the twist coming a mile, an absolute mile.
If people that weren't
in the screen found out what the twist was without even knowing it.
And the thing I loved about the twist, we'll get onto it, we're going to cover obviously from front to back, that I literally heard sighs in the cinema. Yeah. That was so brilliant.
Yeah, but it wasn't sighs when the twist was revealed, it was sighs when the build-up for the twist happened. You were just like...
Everyone's like, all I heard was... I was just like, yes, that's a moment in history. I've got that in my memory bank.
Right,
I love
okay.
it. So let's get on to the film. So obviously Covenant picks up where Prometheus left off. Now,
sort of. Pause. So yeah. Watch, if you're going to go watch Covenant. There's a 30-minute, well, it's about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like a prequel kind of like fill-in video. It's not necessary. I didn't watch it until after the fact.
Oh, I did.
But Tony had.
I did.
It's not... like a linchpin in the movie, like if you don't see it, oh my god, the movie's gonna suck like bad and you're not gonna understand it, but it will help kind of explain a few
but this
bits
is what I mean. If you are gonna go and watch Covenant, watch Prometheus, try and watch it, and then obviously watch that clip, which is kind of like the bridge
between
them both, and that's why I said it's bridged off of that, because when you watch it all, you're like, right,
makes a bit more sense.
And obviously there's a key scene which we're gonna come across which involves that arc.
Yeah.
There. So, obviously, starts off spaceship in space as normal, and we get that grand,
massive
long-winded... but yeah, the massive ship, but then we get the titles, Dale. The long
Tried to do a title. They did the titles exactly the same as the original Alien. I like that as a nod back. This is really OCD of me. But because I watched The Alien, because I watched Alien that morning... I was watching it because it takes so long for the credits, like the title to come on. You actually watch and see each piece of the letters. So basically, those of you who haven't seen the opening credits, shame on you. But basically what it is they spell the letters out in parts. So like five vertical lines come up, and then they start building off of it to make the word alien. Now, in the original Alien film, the E is the last one to be completed, whereas in this, it was the N, and that really bugged
me.
I'm just like, if you're going to do a nod, do it right.
That's it. But I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I was immersed. As soon as that happened, I was immersed, and I was thinking, yes, 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 just carry on the way you are. So we come on, and obviously we meet the android, Fassbender.
Yep.
And then we go basically on from there. He's just basically manning the ship like David was. He's doing his thing. He's going about his motion.
Let's get this right, because this is really bloody confusing. Yeah. So it starts off where Prometheus left off, but basically you start off back at the house where David was born.
Yeah.
Where David was made.
Key scene.
Yeah, yeah. So key scene.
Key scene. Missed that out straight away, Tone, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you're back at Wayland's house.
Yeah. So you're back at Wayland's house, and he talks about how David was made and all this stuff, right? The next thing you know, it jumps onto the ship.
Yeah.
And on the ship is another android that it looks exactly like Michael Fassbender. So you're like,
exactly.
Oh, so this is David, but I thought David was with the other ship.
Yeah.
And you were really, really, really confused until it was revealed that it's not actually David, it's like an updated version of the android, which all share Michael Fassbender's face.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's like a David hybrid. But obviously, this key scene is Wayland, and it is basically the original Wayland from, you know, the guy that plays Wayland from Prometheus. And as you're watching this, you're kind of thinking to yourself, what are you trying to get at with this key scene? The key scene is basically setting you up to tell you all about creation and why Wayland created David and what David will be capable of, basically.
Yeah.
So, there's your spoiler for key scene, basically.
Let's speed it up. So basically, they're on this massive ship. The massive ship gets hit with a... everyone's in hypersleep. It's a huge colony of people.
Yeah.
It gets hit with like a pulse from a nearby planet, which wakes most of the people up from their hypersleep. It also kills, again, quick spoiler, skip a little bit ahead. James Franco is makes a cameo next to his friend Danny McBride. We'll get to that in a minute, because I don't even want to. I will give props to Danny McBride, but not joke. Basically, James Franco gets locked in his hypersleep chamber, it bursts out in flames, and after a 5-second cameo, which you can't 100% tell it's him until you watch a flashback video of him saying he loves you to Daniel's character.
Yeah.
That it's James Franco.
Catherine.
Anyway. So as they're flying through, they're trying to get to this new space, and everyone's talking about, right, we have to go back to sleep, or we have to keep on going. They get a distress signal. The distress signal is obviously from the alien planet where
the Prometheus was.
Where Prometheus went to, which you'll get in that 30-second clip.
Yeah.
They go down in a small team, and that's where all hell breaks loose. So all hell breaks loose because aliens are now spread by airborne. They're like these little flower pods on the floor. One person cracks one of them, breathes it in. Another one gets it in through the ear. One gets through it the nose. And basically this alien now pops out of your back, or will pop out wherever it can. But it's not a xenomorph alien. It's not like a facehugger. It's a new hybrid of...
it's a new alien hybrid, which, to be quite fair, wasn't exactly like... I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. The scenes I thought were stunning. The look of everything, the cinematography, everything about it, I loved. The green lasers, there was in a field, it was pitch black. The aliens, like, rummaging. It was kind of like... It reminded me of, like, Velociraptors.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like... I was immersed. At that point, I was still immersed in it, because everything was all gearing up so well.
So this is where it's a bit odd, because at the end of Prometheus, out of the engineered guy, the main alien, a new alien pops out. It's not exactly a xenomorph, but it's kind of like a link, and it was a nod.
It
never makes an appearance again, so whatever.
No, it don't. Yeah, so that, to me, that was... It was just pointless.
It was just a sentence saying, we're doing another one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these aliens come out, these new hybrids come out. This guy with a hood up comes in and saves the remaining crew that haven't been killed by these little alien buggers running around. Takes him back to this cathedral, or this like this city of rock.
Yeah.
And again, as he's walking through, there's all these bodies that are like not cremated, but they're all in like stasis. They're all covered in black.
Yeah, black gooey.
Yeah, kind of stuff. Black
it kind
rock.
Of reminded me like the old volcano incident.
Yeah, yeah. Pompeii.
It kind of reminded me like that.
It looked like Pompeii. It turns out that the person that saved them is David. Now, what bugged me on this as well is no one else reacted. He pulls down his hood, right? It's clear to us that it's Michael Fassbender. Yeah. It looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender's other android, Walter,
was
the only one that reacted. He was the only one that his face dropped and was kind of like, who are you? What is this? Everyone else just acted like normal, just like, it's another David. It's another Walter.
It's another Walter. Yeah, like they have no clue, obviously.
They didn't react. They didn't even go, how did you get here? How did you do this? None of that. They all accepted it and got on with it. So I was like, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they call up to the mothership and ask him to come down for a pickup.
Yeah.
Mum, can you pick me up from school?
The reason why they're asking for a pickup is rewind before the ship they came down with got blown up. It got blown up. Basically, this, you know, the pathogen that went in their ears and stuff like that, literally, basically, one of the doctors took the other guy back to the ship, and then explosion, big whoop. And then, obviously, it led to that scene, and then
standard
that's why
stuff,
they're now calling
the ship,
down.
The ship got blown up, so they need a pickup of the thing. David starts getting a bit more meticulous. One of the little aliens that have been running around gets bigger and breaks in, kills another one of the survivors from the crew. David is there trying to calm it down and like connect
interact
with it.
Really connect. And to be quite fair, he was connecting with it. But then obviously the captain of the ship sees this, and then he takes his action, which is to kill the alien.
Yeah.
And then as he's done that, David just literally turns. Spoiler alert, David turns and he's literally like, oh, okay. He goes a bit mad because he's killed, you know, something, a creation of his, basically, which we'll find out. So he basically kills the alien. David turns and he's like, well, come with me.
Meticulous. He gets the captain to follow him, introduces him to his basement, where there's loads of drawings of these aliens, and it's obviously that David is a scientist who's been trying to create the perfect xenomorph. And he says to the captain, they've been missing their main ingredient or their main host.
Yeah.
Shows the captain to the eggs, out pops a facehugger around the captain's face. You know the story finished, chest burster, out comes a xenomorph.
Yeah.
So as it extends and as it goes through this, Walter, the other Michael Fassbender, yep. discovers that the captain from Prometheus...
Yeah.
So David, it turns out that David actually came to this planet with...
with Shaw, basically. With Shaw.
With
Shaw.
With this, WMD, dirty bomb kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. This is where the bridge comes in between Prometheus and Covenant, because this bridge kind of is basically David. It ends with David just standing over this hole in the bridge, and he's looking down at a new planet.
Drops the WMD. On this planet of the creators, the one that was in Prometheus, kills them all. And it turns out he killed the doctor he came with and was experimenting on her, trying to find the perfect way to create an alien.
Yeah, because that's what, as obviously the time goes on, you kind of get the drift as that's what, you know, David's all about. He wants to, because he was created, he had a master he created. Now he wanted to be the master, and
he sees it as the end of humanity. Yeah, so like basically, they're inferior.
Yeah.
So he continues doing all of this, tries to kill the rest of the crew, unleashes the xenomorph onto him, and then he has this fight with Walter. Now this is where it really bugs you, and this is where the twist is. So this is where, please skip ahead if you do not want to hear this part.
Don't watch. Because we will spoil this part for you. Don't listen.
So basically, David and Walter are having a fight.
Yeah.
And Walter is winning because Walter is the more advanced android, so he knows better, and he's smashing David's face in with a rock. David stops, and you see the camera of David's hand move towards his knife, and Walter stops, and David says to him, do you really want to be doing this, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Like, do you want them or me?
And then Walter cracks a little smile and then goes to throw his hand down, and then the camera cuts.
Yeah.
Now, that is the biggest kind of giveaway to say, well, clearly, we haven't seen him bash David's head in, so clearly, Walter's getting stabbed in the neck with this knife that David's been going for because he's a slimy little git. Stabbed him in the neck and taken his place. Doy. Very, very simple. So that's where the twist comes, and that's where it all gets spoiled. Because you're kind of like, we kind of saw that.
We see it coming, basically. So as it went and progresses on from there, we get the famous scenes where, obviously, now the pickup arrives. They get on the pickup. The xenomorph then chases after them as David/Walter goes and follows them as well. There's a massive battle scene on this platform spaceship, which Danny McBride is piloting. We get the touch on that. I think Danny McBride was actually okay in this. I didn't
yeah,
think...
Yeah, we'll touch on the performances in a minute.
I didn't, but then obviously you get that battle on there. Then we cut to basically the xenomorph gets destroyed.
Yeah, xenomorph gets killed.
Get killed, and then they go back up to the spaceship. When they're in the spaceship, we get the classic monster on a spaceship kind of, how can I put it? It's kind of like, it was basically Alien stuck on the spaceship with the alien. Everything seems to have calmed down and everything seems plain sailing.
Yeah, everything seems happy, but then obviously us watching it, we know that David is Walter. So all of this stuff where he's trying to hide it and all this bits and bobs.
Yeah, and then obviously there's a wounded guy, isn't there, before they get onto the platform.
They bring a guy that was previously caught by a facehugger, comes on board, they think they've saved him. Chest burster pops out, turns into a full on xenomorph. Danny McBride and the other character kill the alien, get it off the ship. You can see David isn't too happy, even though he's pretending to be Walter. Then at the end, he puts Danny McBride back into his sleeping changer, plus the other character, and she basically says to him, "Oh, are you going to help me build my wood cabin when we get to the new planet?" And Walter just looks blankly at her, and she's like, "Oh, you're not Walter. No, you're David," and tries to break out, blah, blah, blah. Too late, she's locked in. Turns out it's David all along. Wow. Never saw that coming.
Yeah.
David then regurgitates two face huggers in like embryos, puts them in a thing, he puts in the log. Everyone on the ship died apart from Danny McBride's character and the lead. And that's it. Then the spaceship goes off and you're like, oh no, he's going to turn them all into aliens on the spaceship. Da, 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 da.
Which, to be quite fair, if you want to start a superior race, then you're going to hijack 2,000 people to do it and impregnate them with all these aliens. Then, yeah. Wrapping up Alien Covenant for me, before we go on to Dale. So, refreshing moment, Danny McBride, his character Tennessee, I absolutely loved. Going on to Catherine Watson's Ripley ripoff, didn't like her character. There could have been so much more.
Too many similarities between her and Ripley. It was too much of a clone.
Yeah, so we've got that aspect. Fassbender, do like Fassbender. I do like him playing David. There was a bit too much Fassbender.
Oh, that's what I want to say. He played David very, very well.
Oh, he does.
When he played Walter, did he not sound very Crichton-y to you?
Oh, he did sound like Crichton. I mean, obviously.
I couldn't get it out of my head the second he's like, "Yes, mother."
Yeah.
any more you would require, please, Smeghead. Walter was too.
Exactly.
Too much.
And that's why, there was too much Fassbender, and I think they overcomplicated that aspect. Yeah. They didn't need to have Walter there, I don't think. But yeah, there's that. Obviously, the pathogen, morph, I didn't like the way that happened to make the morph. To be quite fair, I love the scenes with that kind of morph and the way that went and leading up to obviously when we found out what David was
about. I don't think the CG helped.
No, it didn't. It didn't. But then obviously we went on to the exomorph, and I did like the exomorph.
The CG looked okay with the exomorph, but it didn't beat practical effects. And I think that's the issue is when they're bringing all these new aliens in, they don't have the look that the xenomorph does. No. And you're kind of just like, look, I would rather see 20 xenomorphs than one or two xenomorphs and a couple of others.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're trying to show the development between Facehugger to the xenomorphs, but they were too much for me.
Yeah. Well, to be quite fair, I did love the exomorph, and that's the way I like it, the xenomorph. But going on, that was about it really. The horror moments, I really liked it.
I don't think there were any horror moments for me, to be honest. They wanted to do what the modern age horrors really suffer from, which is just blood and gore, which you saw when the one popped out of the guy's back. It was just like the thing popped out of the guy's back, and it was just like blood, like just.
Is a good talking point, because do you think we're just too desensitized to this kind of stuff now? Do you think we've had too much of it, and when we do we're kind of just like.
I think horrors have lost their way. I think horrors have gone down the whole path of. I probably blame a bit of Saw for it. It's let's make stuff as gory and let's look away because it looks too much to our eyes, rather than something on the screen's made me look away because something's jumped at me or something's like caught me by surprise. That's what I want in a horror. I want a horror that makes me jump in my seat, not a horror that makes me go, ugh, and cringe away. Like, I don't want that.
But to be quite fair, I think we are too desensitized. We've had too much of it. That's what we've had, and I think now we get to stuff like this.
I think if Alien was made today, the exact same way it was made back in 79, I don't reckon it would have got an 18 rating. I reckon it would have got like a 15.
That's what I'm saying. We're too desensitized to stuff like this now, and I think this is why we're faltering on wanting to be scared and wanting, because you brace yourself for moments.
No, I don't want to be scared.
Yeah. I just
don't want to go to a horror film and be like, gore. I want to go to a horror film and go like, oh, when's this alien going to pop out?
Yeah.
Like the face huggers.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about it. Like, that was so annoying. The captain was like, oh, just take a look. David was saying to the captain, just take a look inside the egg. Nothing's going to happen. We're like, well, we know a face hugger's going to pop out.
Exactly.
Like, what would have been better in that situation is if, as he looks in, and a face hugger from the side of him attacks him, or a face hugger from somewhere else attacks him, or David comes up behind him and smashes his face holds his face into the egg. Like, that's a bit more tension building, not just, oh, I'm gonna look into this egg. Oh, we know what's happening.
Yeah,
and like this film was it's as if it was designed for people that have never watched Alien, that don't know what Alien's about.
Yeah.
Whereas the people that are watching this film are all those fans of the Alien. So.
They're losing out on both fronts, I think, to be quite fair, because it was not a good Alien film, and the fans like myself who love Alien are not loving this, so they've lost on both fronts. I think it's time to score this film, because we've hit rock bottom with this.
We'll start wrapping up.
I want you to go first on this, because I went first on the
Michael Fassbender as David, very good, very meticulous, very evil. So you definitely get a point for that one. As Walter, not so much, very Crichton-y. Yeah. Unfortunately, one of your weaker performances I have seen. Daniel McBride, you surprised me. It's nice to see you not being the typical stoner head guy. Completely fine. And horror might be your thing, because didn't you say they're rebooting Halloween? So it might be interesting to see
how they
perceive it. Yeah. So again, you can have a point for that. I did get to see a face hugger. Woo! And we did get to see a xenomorph, but it wasn't as brutal as
it should have been. And a chest burster. I thought the chest burster was good. I like that.
But you didn't see it, though. They just went and there was a body on the floor. With his chest wrist open, and you're just like.
And do you know what other bit that frustrated me the most? Cutting you short there. The shower scene. That could have been so much more.
That was basically like, this actress wants to show her boobs off, so let's show this what are going to happen. And an alien just comes up behind them, like pokes her in the leg with his tail, and then puts the little mouth through the boyfriend's head.
But that could have been so much.
And then she just screams, and the camera cuts away. It just didn't have.
I mean,
that's what bugged me as well.
Okay.
Is the new aliens? They sounded like predators. They just had the.
No, it's like a click, like.
Yeah, like, it was the Predator click, and I was like, yeah. Why are you trying to make aliens sound like Predator? The whole reason is they're different.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just sounded like Predator. I was half expecting it to cut to heat
vision
stuff. No,
you're right, man, and that's what I mean. I mean, every point that you've said, I'm exactly the same.
It's very disappointing, so I'm going to wrap it up, and I think 4 is being very generous, so 4 out of 10 for me. I'm sorry.
See, I was going to go 5 because it's a halfway point because I'm a fan. So, to be quite fair, I see where you're coming with a 4. I agree with everything you're saying. I think, and I'm going to say this, I think Alien Covenant is the biggest flop of this year.
I don't think it'll be a flop because I think people will go and watch it.
Oh,
and for
the cash, for the views and the cash, it's going to get
I think we're more annoyed because we spent 20 quid on a ticket because, yeah, we're not even going to go down that road. Yeah. 20 quid on a ticket for a cinema ticket.
I mean, that's another
aspect. Even in IMAX or 4DX. Anyway.
No, yeah.
Yeah, like, to be totally honest, it wasn't, it didn't blow me away. It didn't give me the same thing.
No.
I'm not a fan of Alien. I'm more a fan of Predator because I like the action behind it. I love the concept behind Xenomorphs and stuff like that. I just thought this kind of lacked a little bit in what it needed.
It sucked.
Okay, so I'm saying I think we're going to have to bring your 5 down to a 4. We're going to have to take your fan knock out of it. So Alien Covenant is 4 out of 10, unfortunately.
Like I said, biggest flop of this year.
Let's move on to our giveaway.
So last week's giveaway was Flash 21, am I right?
Yeah, Flash 21, part 2 of the Button series.
So, in for a chance, what was the question from last week, Dale? Can you remember that question? Or are we going to literally go, look, let's just go on to last week's winner. I think last week's winner.
I actually like this one because I've got the winner. It incorporates with the winner. So I had to find this and I loved it. So basically the question from last week is, what do the French call a quarter pound of cheese? And the winner basically put the whole conversation. So Vincent, and you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris? Jules, they don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese. No, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what a quarter pounder is. Then what do they call it? They call it a Royale with cheese. A Royale with cheese? What do they call a Big Mac? Well, a Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac. Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper? I don't know. I didn't go into Burger King.
Who is that?
He put the whole script down. So Mohamed Rashid Koya, congratulations to you on that.
My
one.
Man.
Very good. We're not giving you, like, you get extra brownie points for putting in like full on answers, don't get me wrong, but
if you're anywhere within the vicinity of Stephen E's Cineworld when we go on a night and you say, hi, my name's Mohamed, I answered the question, maybe we might give you a bag of popcorn or even some jelly.
Right, you can pay popcorn prices, I'm not. I've just given him a flash comment.
Anyway,
congratulations to you. I will be in touch so we can get that sent straight up to you. Now onto this week's giveaway, because limited edition comments are always amazing as they are. They have given us, without damaging it, Tony, this alien pop. This alien pop is badass. It's even got the little mouth. That's another thing why I can't take alien serious. Have you ever seen Family Guy? You see the episode where he goes, we're going to eat you now, and the little mouth goes there, goes, save some for me.
But this is
awesome. What you can't see on camera is there's so much detail in it. When you actually get up close, not Tony bringing it close because you still won't be able to see it, is the muscles of it are actually painted green. It looks awesome. So to win this one, it's very, very simple. We have said the name a million and one times throughout this review already.
Go on, Adam.
What
give us that question.
Is the
Come
name
on.
Of Sigourney Weaver's character from the Alien franchise?
Oh,
easy as anything.
It is. If you didn't get it in any of what we've said in this whole kind
then
of
you
review,
sure as hell better get it from this clip right here.
Ripley from Alien 3.
Boom. There you go. We had a clip, Dale.
Had a clip. Always get a clip. Tony just done.
I was quite hoping for the Royale with cheese clip.
Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
I did give you a Royale. Last week there was a Royale with cheese clip. I even had to re-edit that. So it didn't have swear in it, thank you very much. And that was hard because, you know,
Dale.
That was tough. So,
brownie points for Dale, everyone.
Quentin Tarantino, if you ever need someone to edit some stuff, hit me up. No, just say.
Dale could do on a flight.
Anyway, so to win that Alien, very, very simple. What is the name of Sigourney Weaver's character in the Alien franchise?
And I'll show you it once more, guys. That is the prize for this week, guys. Everything's
Alien Pop. Awesome.
Now, one last thing. What is the discount code for this week? Just a refresh.
Discount code for this week is Alien2017. So all in capitals, 2017. Boom, simple as that.
And what is our rewind for next week?
Wrapping up for next week, we have our rewind, which is going to be Pacific Rim, the awesome kaiju, absolute masterpiece by Del Toro. So good. Tony hasn't seen it yet, so this is going to be awesome. Yep. Which then leads us on to our watch for next week, our main review, which is going to be King Arthur.
The only reason why we're watching this is for David Beckham's cameo. That's it.
See, I was very disappointed. I was very, very close to not watching it, but since you told me that yesterday, you're like, you do realise that there's a cameo in it.
Yeah. But they're friends, Guy Ritchie. Friends in high places, guys.
Guy Ritchie's new film with Charlie Hunnam. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Boom, that's next week.
So yeah, next week's King Arthur, guys. Rewind is Pacific Rim. The question again, please, now, just for people who just have just forgot.
What was the name of Sigourney Weaver's character in the Alien franchise to win yourself an Alien pop toy?
You can win this pop.
Boom. It's not even an Alien versus Predator reprint one. That's an official Alien. From Alien. So
you have to go, though, Dale. You're keeping me chatting here. My name's Tony.
I'm Dale.
And thank you very much for watching. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you all next week.